Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we'd like to thank you for taking out time of your evening to be a part of this hour. As we move forward, we are on Proverbs 23, and we're going to have a reader, and we'll try to do what we did last week. We'll have a reader and I will just basically go ahead and share with you what the scripture is saying, and we're going to move forward on there and open it up for questions. We are an interactive Bible study. If you would like to participate, for those of you who are listening by internet, you can call in 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, you can be a part of the question and answer or whatever is on your heart. Amen. We also like to let you know that you can connect through Zoom. The code for Zoom is 505-563-6808. That's 505-563-6808. And the passcode for that is capital PSALN 23, Psalm 23 without an S, capital PSALM 23. Also, in addition, if you would like to share this with a friend or someone in your family that may be a blessing to them, amen, you can go into the Blog Talk Radio and then type in We Can Begin Again, and you can hear this message again in the archives. Or you can pull up any one of the other messages that we have. We have over 500. Just choose one and let it be a blessing to you and to the hearer. Amen. We're going to move forward. Dr. Suzanne is going to pray. And then from there, we're going to have Aletha, who is in South Carolina. She's going to read the scripture, and I'm going to do the interpretation. And at times, we're going to open up if you have any comments. Amen. Dr. Suzanne.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. Father God, we praise your name and we thank you, Lord, for this time together, Lord. This time that's been set aside, Father God, for us every week, Father God. Same time, same station, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Yes, Father.
We thank you, Lord, for the platform that we're able to use, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for technology operating as it was designed to, Father God. And Lord, we come to you in prayer, Father God, praying for our speaker this evening, Father God, for my husband, dear Lord, that you would that he would allow the Holy Spirit to just completely work through him. We give the Holy Spirit realm over this entire evening, Father,
yes.
that the word will come across, Father God, will be rightly divided and understood and taken apart, Father God, and that each one of us will leave with something, Father God, will leave with what you would have us to leave, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed every household that's represented in this call this evening, Father God, those that are present, those that have been present, those that wanted to be, those who are to come, Father God, that you have blessed their households, dear Lord.
Yes.
Let there be a spirit of peace, Father God, and that you open up our spiritual ears and hearts, Father God, to receive. Dear Lord, we lift up people that are on our prayer list, like Lauren, like Mother Gloria,
yes.
Like Pastor Robinson.
Yes.
We ask for a special prayer for the Hobbs sisters.
Yes.
Dear Lord, we ask for a special prayer for Sarah and Abraham, dear Lord.
Yes.
For Mrs. Burke, Father God. For Amy, dear Lord. For Tiffany, dear Lord. For Cynthia, we ask for special prayers for
yes.
them, dear Lord. For Dwayne, yes, Lord. For Leroy, Andy, yes, for Paula, for Nadine, for Philip, we ask for special blessings for them, dear Lord. Do you know what their concerns are, dear Lord? Do you know what they are?
Yes.
And we believe, Father God, and we know, because your word tells us that we are healed, that Jesus died on the cross, that all of the blood that was shed was for the 66 diseases that are in the earth, dear Lord. And we know, Father God, that these individuals that we named, Father God, and those that it may be have been on our hearts that we haven't named also, Father God, that you know where they are, Father God, and that you have a special plan for them.
Mm.
We ask you, Lord, and we thank you, Father God, for your healing power. We thank you, Lord, that you are our provider, that you are our banner, that you go out before us, that you, Father God, that there is no us without you, dear Lord.
Yes.
And we thank you, Father God. We look forward to praise reports, Father God. We also lift up Kathy and Angel. We look forward to the praise reports, Father God, that we could celebrate and just dance and praise your name, Father God.
Yes.
Knowing, Father God, that you, Father God, are the lover of our souls. We just praise you. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' sweet and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Again, we'd like to thank you for being a part of this hour. We see you out there in New York. We have you on our prayer list as well. I know that you're going for surgery, and we have you on our prayer list as well, Norman. We have included you. All those, you know, that asked us for prayer, we try to keep you on our prayer list, amen, and hoping that we hear a testimony. Because of the prayers that we have for one another. Okay, we're going to move into Proverbs 23, and I've asked Alita from out of South Carolina if she would read the scriptures, and then I am going to use the interpretation coming from commentary, and as far as what the word says. It's coming out of from John Wesley, out of the explanatory notes of the Old Testament. And that is, these aren't my notes. These are coming from a commentary called John Wesley. And Alita, would you please read 23:1-3?
Okay. Good evening, everybody. When you sit to dine with a ruler, note well what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive.
Amen. And here it's talking about that when you go to a banquet, you know, that's hosted by someone who is prestigious, amen, a prestigious host, such as a ruler or, you know, a person, you know, that you consider prestigious in the eyesight of society. It's saying that you should humble yourselves and make sure that you have restraint, that there is restraint when you are the midst of a stranger who is hosting. And oftentimes it's saying that, you know, that when oftentimes when you go through a ruler, they have so much food that oftentimes that the person they pretty much put a knife to their throat because of gluttony. Amen. And what it's saying here that you should hold back on gorging, you know, because all the food that they have and that is surrounded by, that you're surrounded by, that you should not gorge. Amen. You should not become a glutton. Amen. And he also goes on to talk about, it says, there are foods that are delicacies of, you know, a prestigious banquet can be deceptive. It can be deceptive. And what they mean by it can be deceptive, meaning that the ruler may, or the prestigious person may seem to be friendly in serving that meal, but in reality, they may be planning to betray you. Amen. They may be planning to betray you. Or there is some type of injustice that may come because of what they are serving. And you may think it is for good, but in actuality, there may be a deceptive thought or a deceptive purpose behind that. Amen. 23:4, Proverbs 23:4-5.
Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will soon sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle.
Okay, and here it is talking about in terms of working to gain riches. And the speaker here is not against in terms of trying to, for the gain, is saying here that you should be aware of industrious gain, amen, consuming money for oneself. And it's saying here that there should be wise constraint when that person is working for money or working for materialism, amen? And it's saying here that materialism drives many people to excessive workloads in order to accumulate more money. And the reason for that advice, you know, or saying it's temporary and it's unstable. It is unstable. So it's almost when you hear that saying in terms of, you know, when the eyes fly after something wealth, when the eyes fly after wealth, it's saying that that wealth can also result in flying away like an eagle. So in other words, you can get it and it can and you can lose it just as fast as you have gained it. Amen. And I'm going to stop there and open up the mic if there are any comments in reference to that. I'm trying to make it so that it is a dialogue and that we are communicating, amen? And that is the whole purpose of this ministry for this evening, so that we, wherever you are, whatever city, state you are, can communicate and share thoughts. Are there any comments in reference to what we've talked about? Going to somewhere and knowing of others that became gluttonous, simply because there was so much food that they just overate. They overate, or someone that you know who has been working for materialism, and as quick as they got it, you know, they lost it. They lost it. It went right out, out the door. Amen. Any comments? Amen.
Another thing, in the Proverbs, and just like this Proverbs and the other one, is that the father, the parent is telling the child how to behave when they're among others, you know, how to behave when you're out,
mm-hmm.
how to carry yourself. Not to be impressed with what looks good, like the food or the riches.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be impressed with that. That all of that could be deceptive.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Any other comments in reference to or piggyback off of what Dr. Suresh has made in reference to that?
It's like saying the grass, you know, like we say the grass is not always greener on the other side,
mm-hmm.
and teaching that to,
amen.
Yeah,
amen. Yeah, looking at change,
you
know. I want
to say that God has given us guidance and direction, and sometimes we can engage in gluttony or bad choices, you know, as Adam and Eve, they had everything going for them. But anyway, they were just given one instruction. And our parents give us instructions on how to do things. But they only had one instruction. And they had difficulty, you know, following that instruction. And, of course, there are consequences for it. There are people who live beyond their means and outside their boundaries. They don't follow what God's – the path God has laid out for them. He's laid a path for them. But they choose to take a darker path, a path that is unknown. And when you take a path that's unknown, it's dark. There's all kinds of hazards. There could be tree roots. that are deep. You could trip over branches that are low that you're not going to see because it's dark. Whereas you could have taken a safer route. But anyway, you under being under God's influence, His Spirit will lead you. But He's giving you the best route, the best directions. And sometimes we make mistakes, and those mistakes, we learn from those as well. Some mistakes we can't, they're more profound than others. But anyway, it's that guidance that God gives us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for those comments. It's so true. And, you know, we talk about in terms of, you know, children, training up the children, as we heard, training up the children, train up a child in the way they should go. Amen. And they'll know the way. So training up a child that when they get amongst, you know, the riches, those with the riches do not get caught up on, you know, their wealth, do not get caught up on the wealth of what they have. Amen. And lose sight of who you are. Lose sight of who you are. Amen. 23:6-8. Proverbs
23. Do not eat the food of a begrudging host. Do not praise his delicacy, for he is the kind of person who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the little you have eaten and will have wasted your compliment.
Mm-hmm. And this is very similar to what we talk about in terms of the eating, you know, that advises us that greedily eating, you know, food served by a generous ruler. And here is the other. It warns about eating food served by someone who is stingy. Someone who is stingy, someone who's always complaining about the cost of things, who is always just complaining. And they're saying that that's considered an evil eye. And here it says that when a guest realizes that the host is thinking of cost of the delicacies of the food, it's saying craving for these delicacies is wrong and as well as dangerous. Craving for these delicacies for someone who is stingy and always looking at it is saying it's wrong and it also could be dangerous. Amen. These delicious foods that are served, you know, by this person. And then when you find out that person may have another plan in mind, they may not be for the good. It may not be for the good. And saying here that do not get caught up in terms of the delicacies and begin to start to crave for what is being offered for someone who may be considered stingy. They're going out of their way for you. There may be a method to that. And not saying that it's always happens that way, but it's saying that could be a possibility that we should always make sure that we are cautious. Do not get caught up in gluttony. Do not get caught up and crave for the things that that others may have. Amen. 23:9.
Do not speak to fools, for they will scorn your prudent words.
Trying to teach someone who is thick-headed, stubborn, dull-minded, and it's saying here that someone who is considered a fool, that you're trying to teach them, they don't welcome what you are saying. They don't welcome that. They don't welcome wise advice. They don't welcome that. They don't welcome wisdom. They don't welcome understanding. And because why? They are a fool. They're dull, they're thick-headed, and they are stubborn. Any comments? Mic's open.
Just like trying to keep your head, you know, beating your head up against the brick wall. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, you're trying to tell somebody, explain something to somebody, and they're just not going to see the big picture. And so that's what this verse reminds me of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just trying to get this, what is that, a fixed goal, if you will?
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Thank you. Any other comments? Mics are open. Any comments? Amen. Proverbs 23:10-11.
Do not leave an ancient foundry stone or in rope on the field of the, I'm sorry, in close on the field of fatherless. For the defender is strong. He will take up their case against you.
We talked about that before in terms of the stealing of land, how that was in the Bible, that was considered a sin to steal from those that did not have, amen, or even stealing from a neighbor, okay? And they had stones, there were boundary stones, you know, that they had in the fields to know what was theirs. And it is saying here that there are boundary stones is bad, but to take from a children or a widow is worse than that. To take from a widow or children is worse than that. And it says the Lord is concerned for the fatherless. If you want to go to Deuteronomy 10:18, you can look that up, or even in Psalms 10:14, if you want to do any research on that. Amen. But the Lord opposes all who mistreat fatherless children. The Lord opposes that. He is their defender. And when a person and a person who is responsible for meeting the needs of the troubled or the defenseless or even close, when you try to prey on those, the Lord is their defender. And I used to always, say, just coming up, you know, it's coming back at you. What you do to them is coming right back at you. You're going to receive the same. Someone is going to do the same to you. What comes around goes around. Any comments? No comments? Amen. Proverbs 23:12.
Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge.
And here, apply your heart, it talks about your diligence, you know, your compassion, your desire for instruction. Applying your heart, your desire for instruction, your desire for the word of God, your desire to how to live your life, your desire of how you are to govern your everyday activities. That's applying your heart. And applying your ears is how you are paying attention and the way that you listen. Paying attention and the way that you listen. That's just another way of just saying it, applying your ears. Amen? Listening for God to speak to you. Listening for God to speak to you and whatever you're going through, then taking out time and allowing God to speak to your spirit and give you wise instruction. Amen? But you have to know how to stand still, to be still. The word of God says, you know, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Stop moving. Stop moving. Be still. And know that I'm God. Let me work on your behalf. Amen. Pay attention. Listen to my instruction. Any comments?
No, that's good. That's good, sir. And I know you're talking about not just hearing the voice of God within yourself.
I have two people.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Whoever's speaking, speak. All right. I'll wait. I'll yield.
Go ahead, Alisa.
I was saying that we always try to put our hand into something instead of being impatient. We think about moving at the rate of speed that we want to, so we figure if we get in there and mess a little bit, it'll go a little bit faster.
Mm.
You know, and so we get we say to us what is being spoken to us.
Mm-hmm.
We take our own interpretation of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. 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 Minister Harmon out of New York, I believe that was you.
Yes, God bless you, sir. And everyone on the line, I agree with Minister Alisa because I agree with her as well. But what I was going to say is, and she basically said it too, she did say it, is not only just listening to the instructions that God gives you personally, but like you, Elder Clay and Elder Suzanne, if in fact God, not if in fact, when God moves on you to share something which is viable to me, I'm to listen. And like you said, be still so we can hear, so I can hear, so I can hear what the Spirit is saying unto Edna, giving Edna instruction. And sometimes we miss it within our own self. Sometimes we miss it. And God will come back with scripture and come back with that individual, the oracle, to give you that word
Amen.
Of knowledge. And we have to receive, you know what, we're to receive it. Not receive everything, but if it is a godly counseling or godly wisdom, godly knowledge coming, we're to receive it. In the light that it's coming in. I'm finished, sir. I'm finished.
Man, so much. Thank you so much for those comments. Anyone else? Mics are open. Amen. We're just feeding off the word of God. Anyone else would like to share an experience or, you know, speaks to your spirit that you'd like to share with the body of Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. 23:13-14.
Do not withhold discipline from the child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Punish them with the rod and save them from death.
Hmm. Spare the rod, spare the child. Oh, some of you might not know anything about that. You know, but children, it's saying here that children need discipline. They need more control. They need more correction, amen, verbal as well as physical, amen. And it's saying here that physical punishment, you know, such as a rod, is approved in the Bible. It is approved figuratively in the Bible. Disciplining your child is approved as a form of discipline is approved in the Bible. And it goes on to say, that the pain caused by spanking may make the parent and the child think that the child will die. Actually, deliver your child from a physical death. When they say a physical death, they're talking about the grave. Amen. It will not cause his death. Amen. And I give, you know, a little testimony. I remember when I was younger and growing up, and my mother used to spank me, and I used to I would put a pad in the back, you know, because I knew she was going to spank me on my behind with the switch. And I was crying almost like, you know, you could hear me outside in the streets. But it really wasn't hurting. It really wasn't hurting. I was putting on an act. But I got away with it, but I did not do that with my father, okay, because he made me strip down, you know, because he knew what I was doing. I guess he caught on to what I was doing. So, you know, again, how it did, I think that that instruction or that discipline led me in the right direction, because when I was out and about with my friends and they were making poor choices, amen, I did not want to be disciplined by my father, so therefore I did not partake in those poor choices. Amen. Any comments? Oh, my goodness. I guess I'm talking to myself tonight. No one understands what we're saying.
Not necessarily. I think we're getting a good deal out of this. It goes back to being educated by our father, our parents. And I say our father, speaking of God. But anyway, God placed us, gave us the parents, earthly parents, to also provide us with guidance and also a Bible. But we make choices that have consequences. And there used to be a TV show called Beretta. Don't do the crime unless you can pay the time. Don't toss the dice unless you can do the price. You have to think about what the consequences of your actions are going to be. And for every action, there's going to be a reaction. So you have to think about what is going to be the outcome of the decision you make. What do you do? How does it affect you? How does it affect other people around you that you care about? And maybe you were able to be in a position because you picked up the word and you're able, you're in a position to spread the gospel. Sometimes people think other people are stupid and don't know anything. And that's, and sometimes that could be a good thing, because people will tell you everything you want to know. But the things that you really need to know are, in reality, God's, the gospel. But you're in a position to actually spread that gospel because you know it. You can't teach something you don't know. You can't be a good parent unless you've been taught to be a good parent. You can't be a good teacher unless you've been a good student, unless you learn to be a good student. But everything builds upon each other. But God has a path, has a path for us to follow, a direction. And he wants us to be successful. He'll never put us in a situation in which we're going to fail unless he has a reason for that. That failure was not a failure because you learned something from it, and you're stronger.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for those comments. Anyone else? Amen. Proverbs 23:15-16.
My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad in you. My innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right.
Mm-hmm. And here we're talking about the father's heart. It's saying that wisdom is to be internalized. And how is it internalized? In one's heart. So what, the father's heart is the innermost being of that person, of your father. That is the innermost, the heart is the innermost part of that person. That's where the emotional well-being occurs. That's where the intellect, it helps with the intellect. Amen. And a wise heart is revealed by speaking what is right. So that's where the heart is. God looks at our heart. God looks at our heart. And if you want to be a blessing to your father, if they're still alive, or even to your mother, to be a blessing to them, okay, appeal to their heart by the right decisions that you make, godly decisions. Amen? Standing upright and doing and making right decisions. Amen? Being a man or a woman of God. And that is a blessing to your parents. Amen. That is a blessing to your parents.
Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future. I'm sorry. there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off.
Amen. This is talking about someone who envies sinners, envying sinners, those who are sinning, who are doing all kinds of things, and envy of them because of what they have, what they're able to gain through the things that they have done in life that may not be pleasing to God, but they but people look at them and become envious, and is saying wanting to do what they do. You want to have what they have. And it's saying that a person that is in that physical or emotional category has no hope. No hope. It's saying that that's not being wise. Amen? And that's not what the godly do. Amen? God will bless you with, he will open up the windows of heaven. Amen? When we apply our hearts to the Lord, when we give ourselves to the Lord, God will open up the windows of heaven. If you're talking about pleasure, we can't have no ultimate more or greater ultimate pleasure than serving Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the ultimate hope that we can ever even be associated with. Amen? And all that is generated with the fear of the Lord. If there is no fear of the Lord, then we're going to, a person is going to do what they are doing in the sinner's category. Amen? Because they do not fear the Lord. They do not fear consequences. Amen. Next, 22 through 23.
Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well.
Here is repeated over and over again, talking about the parents, heeding parents' instructions and advice. And it's saying here that it is, again, encouraged. Amen? Heeding the parents' advice is encouraged. It also talks about that when you respect your parents when they're old, then that is a blessing. That is a blessing. When you respect your parents when they are old, amen? But someone who despises them, that means that hold them in contempt, that now, or you disobey their commandments, that you're going, that's the opposite direction, amen? That is the opposite direction, amen? And that is what it's saying here. It's called being wise, amen. Being wise with how you respond to your parents, even when they are old. You know how the young generation or some young generations, they look at older, and you know, you can't tell me anything. You can't tell me anything. So, and it's saying, the Bible is saying here that when the parents get old, that you should respect your parents. Amen. It doesn't make a difference how old they are, that you should always respect them. Amen. 24 and 25.
The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth joyful.
Here's talking about, you know, the talking about being wise, and that's what Proverbs is all about, being prudent, being wise. And in God's view means being godly or righteous. That's what wisdom is, being godly or righteous. That's what it is. Amen. And when you are godly and when you are righteous, that you will have great joy, and you have something to rejoice for. Amen? You have something to rejoice for. You know, there's delight, you know, just in being wise. Amen? Being godly, being righteous. There is a reason to be delightful, to be glad, to be happy. And God wants us to be happy. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be glad. Amen? But in order to fall into that category, we have to be wise, amen, and have godly living, amen, godly living. hear it also talking about in terms of, you know, we talked about in terms of give your heart to the Lord. Amen. Give your heart to the Lord. What does that mean? Give your thoughts, give your values, give everything over to the Lord. Give your ways, your lifestyle, give it over to the Lord and follow after his instructions. Amen. Follow after his instructions. And he's saying to the son, you know, that your eyes will be pleasing to the Lord. God will be pleased with your actions because you have given your lifestyle over to the Lord. Any comments? Any comments? Well, we're doing pretty good with these scriptures, time-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments? Godly living, being righteous. What about in terms of when parents are old and respecting parents when they're old? Does anybody see any of the opposite?
Scripture. You know, spare the rod.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
going hand in hand. Spare the
rod,
spare the child. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Do we have another comment?
I like this verse, Elder. You bring joy to not just your earthly father, but your heavenly
mm-hmm.
father. And you already said it. I'm just reiterating, he rejoices over that child because he has taught that child. And when that child goes on with the instruction and is wise with the instruction and to further his life and his walk in life, a father, you know how you parents are, you feel good about that. So God in his heavenly kingdom looks at you and me and all of us on this line and says, you know what? That's my child. I mean, they're all my children, but I'm so pleased with this one because they're using the wisdom that I've given to them freely and the instructions, that's all. I'm finished.
Amen.
I'm finished.
Amen. And, you know, when we were coming up as kids, you know, and when we were coming up as kids and making right decisions when our parents weren't around, that was so critical. That was so crucial. You know, you get around your friends and because they're your friends, you make, you know, bad choices, you make bad decisions and everything comes right back to the house.
Yeah.
It gets right back. Oh, and when it gets to the house, imagine how the parents feel when they hear about the negativity or whatever was done while their child was away from home. You know, the choices away from home, you know, and just think about it. You know, and I know that you can remember in terms of how your parents felt when you made bad choices and you had to confront them or confronted you. Just think about the emotions, you know, that they went through because of their disappointment. Of their disappointment.
I
want to
add something. One point is that it's better for a child to learn while they're at home with their parents and under their parents' rule than to not learn and not have the guidance or the discipline that they should have had as a child, and they become adults and they're still foolish, acting like children.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have to come under society's rule.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that just like in Proverbs, it tells us that, you know, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't, you know, in other words, he returns to what he knows. And I believe that childhood is a time to practice what you're learning and to test the things that you're learning. Another thing I wanted to bring up, just for folks to think about, and I'm not to debate, but the rod represents the law, and the law in home, you should have different principles and laws that govern your home. So if the parent is actually parenting, then there's certain expectations that should come with being a child in that household. So it's not necessarily a stick to beat the child with, but just like with the sheep herder uses the staff so that the sheep can see him wherever he is and that he's there. And it's noticed that it was used to guide them and to keep them together. So for us, same thing, that to spare the rod, to spare instruction, to spare house rules, to spare discipline of teaching a child. And displaying for the child and being there to be the pillar where the child can see how you're handling things, how a parent is handling things and how the parent is navigating life, and watch the parent and so forth, then the child will follow in the parent's footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
But if the child has no one to lead them, has no one with the rod of discipline on themselves, then who does the child follow?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Any other comments?
No, I was just thinking about like when I was growing up, my mother used to say, because she trained us and she instructed us and she brought us up, but she always said this, you know what, when you leave out here, basically we represent the house. And you never know who I know. So do what's right out there. You never know who I know. And that used to always play in the back of my mind that, you know, when I leave this house, I'm going to conduct myself. Now, I'm not saying I was perfect, but I'm going to, when it comes to, like, adults and whatnot, always be respectful. I don't care. You just be respectful to them. And my mother used to say also that a hard head makes a soft behind. And it's right, Elder Suzanne. You know, we need to get it in the home first. That's where our training ground. So when we go out there into the world, it won't, because the world don't care about you. That's hard knocks out there. But if you get your training in home and you get the licks in home, that will spare you the licks and the behind bars and all the other things that can go with the world too. I'm finished. I went off into a little tangent there.
That's all right. I'm pretty sure we can all identify. Amen. Amen. We did pretty good. And we're at the last of the scripture Proverbs. And we are looking at Proverbs 23:29-35.
Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaint? Who has needle bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to the sample bowls of mixed wine, do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly, in the end it bites like a snake, and poison like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights. Your mind will imagine confusing things. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on the top of the rigging. They hit me, and you will say, "But I'm not hurt. They hit me, but I don't feel it. I'm a paper, so can I find another?"
Amen. And here it is talking about, it says, woe and sorrow, okay, are the social problems in life. Those are the social problems. Woe and sorrow are the social problems that people have in life. Strife and complaints are the physical problems. And the bruises are the beatings and the bumps that you get while staggering. You know, a person who's staggering with red bloodshot eyes, you know, from blood, from what they've gone through, lingering over wine, and or any type of mixed wine, amen. And what it's saying here that wine may seem attractive, you know, it's sparkling, it's smooth, and you know, and it tastes good, and the spice is good, but eventually, in the end, it's saying here that that it can be devastating. It can be devastating and painful as a snake bite. And what does it mean by that? It's saying that when a person becomes drunk all the time, that it leads to mental problems. It leads to hallucination, in imagining, you know, confusing, you know, situations that aren't there, or things that are not there. Physical drunkenness can lead to all being off balance while you're walking, you know, imagining, you know, that, you know, almost like, you know, and it uses here in terms of a sailor on a ship, but we're not going to talk about that in terms of like you being on a boat, you know, and while you're on a boat, you know, the boat's, you know, it's on the water and it's going back and forth. And they say that's the attitude of a drunken. They're insensitive, you know, to the situation. You know, they're insensitive to pain. But, you know, you cannot escape it. You cannot escape it. Alcohol, what it does is it controls them. They become a slave to the wine. You become a slave to the wine because eventually you find someone that's been drinking a long time and they end up having all these kind of problems, mental problems, hallucination, you know, confusion, you know, physical, you know, problems, being, you know, just all these things happen. Okay, and that is the end of Proverbs. Any comments as we come to a close? Any comments? All mics open. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in, being a part of this hour. You know, as we went over Proverbs 23, we'd like to invite you back next week. What is that, the second week? Is that Pastor Miles or second week? Is the third week? Minister Amato, are you on next week?
Is that Maddie?
I think she's
on the third week. Hello?
You're on the third week?
Pastor Miles? Yes,
you're on the
week.
Third. Pastor Miles is on the third, so next week we have Minister Herman will be on next the second week, and then we have, I believe, Maddie will be on the fourth. Coming up with the fourth, I believe, which we have not approached her yet. Okay, she doesn't know that, but she knows, she does know it now. Amen, amen. Okay, we thank you so much for sharing this time. It has been a blessing just to come together in unity and in the spirit of Christ. Amen. I can't how much or how good it is when we dwell together, amen, and feed on the Word of God. It is such a blessing. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, myself and Dr. Suzanne, we thank you from the bottom of our heart for just being able to come on and be a part of this. You're not, you know, only bless the body of Christ, but you also bless us. So we thank you so much. Dr. Suzanne, would you like to close us out in prayer?
Father God, we praise your name and we thank you, Lord, for this hour of prayer and teaching, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, and praise you, Father God, for your faithfulness, dear Lord,
thank
and
you,
for
Jesus.
What has gone forth this evening. We thank you, Lord, that you restore my husband's energy, Father God, as he rests after speaking this evening. We thank you, Lord, that you bless each and every household that's represented, that there'll be a spirit of peace and calm and contentment in our homes, so we all rest well and wake up early in the morning, rejuvenated, Lord, praising you and looking forward to the steps that you'll have us take tomorrow. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen and amen.
Amen. Remember, we love you, but God loves you more. Stay safe.